Good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here on the Mike Malloy program. Isn't that odd? How you doing? Hope you had a good day. Did we get some new subscribers today? Let's hope so. Go to MikeMalloy.com. I got to push this. I really do, because if you like the program, this will give you access to the podcast and a bunch of other stuff as the program and the website develops. It's extremely cheap. Or I should say, that's a bad word, I should say it this way. It's very, very inexpensive. It's a very, very good value. So check it out. Go to MikeMalloy.com. And during the course of the program tonight, let's see if we can just get beaucoups of new subscribers for the podcast and for some of the Malloy videos. Speaking of Malloy videos, I need some help from anyone out there who is real tech savvy or understands how YouTube works. Up until a couple of days ago, we had literally scores, maybe hundreds, 700 Malloy bits on YouTube. Some of them actual videos, some of them voiceovers. And for some reason, YouTube is taking them down. And we have no idea why YouTube is taking them down. We certainly are not doing anything that would warrant, unless somebody in the YouTube management has decided that this program is too much of a threat, in which case I can certainly understand that. But we're not exactly sure what is going on. I'm just wondering if there's somebody out there who understands the YouTube setup, and especially maybe, you know, how it's run. Who to get in touch with, I guess, would be the right thing to say, to find out why they keep taking down all of our videos.
Yeah, it's a real puzzlement. There were two or three folks, and we thanked them on the air last night, Joe and Alva and Hernan, who had been hosting their own kind of unofficial Mike Malloy YouTube sites where they had posted their own YouTube videos of your rants and your TV appearances and things like that. And what happened was we decided to get them together and join their efforts and make one Mike Malloy Show YouTube page that they could all contribute to, and anyone could contribute to, actually, and host it and have it hosted on YouTube and then have a link to our website. So anyway, their individual accounts started getting suspended, and then one day after launching the official Mike Malloy Show YouTube page, which was yesterday, and like I said, hundreds of videos on there, it was suspended. So we think we've been attacked by someone who doesn't like the show.
I wonder who that could be.
That narrows it down to several million.
I wonder who that could be that doesn't like the show.
So what we're asking is, if there's anybody out there, you can email me at Kathy@MikeMalloy.com. Kathy@MikeMalloy.com. If you have any tips or tricks, or if you know anybody inside YouTube, I don't think it's someone internal to YouTube who is doing this. I guess they're claiming there's some kind of copyright infringement. I don't know that that's the case, but whatever the case is, we'd like to get the bottom of it.
So, there you go. Just send an email to Kathy@MikeMalloy.com. Because it literally involves a tremendous amount of effort over the past 5 or 6 years that had been put together by where does Alva live? In the United States, and Hernan lives in Argentina.
And Joe lives here, and it's all the accounts who had Malloy videos, I think with one or two rare exceptions. It wasn't just those three folks. It was
well, like you like you said, I must be a real threat to somebody.
Yeah, it was accounts across the board that were being suspended, and I don't know who to protest to or argue with to let them know, no, this is not copy. We want this up there. The only way they could claim it was a copyright infringement is to claim that somehow they owned the rights, exclusive rights
to this program,
to your audio.
Right,
and that's impossible.
Which is not the case. So, at worst case scenario, somebody may be claiming to be me. I don't know to what degree YouTube verifies requests to take down or suspend an account. But anyway, if you have any information, you know anything, give us a holler. And if you're the person that figures it out, we'll give you a free 1 year subscription to the program. All right. Okay. What else we got?
Ooh, a reward.
Yeah. Wanted, dead or alive. I think we're going to start a new segment to the program tomorrow night. It's called Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe. And for those of you who don't know what a gumshoe is, look it up. G-U-M-S-H-O-E. Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe. And that came up today as a result of an email correspondence back and forth between the writer and moi. So that should be interesting. We were going to try to put it together tonight, but we decided, no, let's wait and get all the production values good and present it by the Mike Malloy Radio Players. And it's called Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe tomorrow night. All right, that's enough kidding around. Let's get to the good stuff. Anybody out there ever heard of One Mind Ministries? Da-da-da-da. One Mind Ministries. A woman in Maryland involved with this group, this religious cult, pled guilty in the starvation death of her son today in Maryland. But insisted that the charges be dropped. She said, I'll plead guilty, but when my son resurrects, the court has to drop the charges. And the court went along with this. This is in Baltimore, Maryland. She was found guilty of a first degree. She pled guilty to a first degree felony count of child abuse resulting in death. That's according to her attorney, Stephen Silverman. But this bit about when the kid is resurrected, she gets off. That was made part of her plea agreement. And again, she's a member of a religious group called One Mind Ministries. And she believes that her one-year-old son is going to rise again. And as part of the plea agreement, authorities agreed to the clause. They put it in her sentencing. Her attorney said, quote, she certainly recognizes that her omissions caused the death of her son. To this day, she believes it was God's will, and he will be resurrected, and this will all take care of itself. She realizes if she's wrong, then everyone has to take responsibility. What? And if she's wrong, then she's a failure as a mother, and the worst thing imaginable has happened. I don't think, the attorney said, that mentally she's ready to accept that, end quote. Oh, my God. Now, as part of her plea agreement, the mother, who's only 22, has got to testify against four other One Mind Ministries members who are also facing charges, including first-degree murder in this little boy's death. At her sentencing, which is set for August, she's going to receive a 20-year sentence, which will be suspended, except for the time she's already served behind bars, as soon as her dead son is resurrected. Now, according to the lawyer, putting this resurrection clause into the plea agreement, according to the lawyer, this has never come up in the history of American law in the past, he says, as far as I've seen. And he said that that clause was very important to Mom. Mom, who allowed her or forced her son to starve to death because he wouldn't say amen after dinners, or after saying the blessing at dinner. The kid was 1 year old, and apparently he could not say the word amen. So food was withheld from this child until he starved to death. Nice, huh? The group's leader, One Mind Ministries, is a 40-year-old woman who goes by the name Queen Antoinette, and she decreed that this one-year-old boy was a demon because he refused to say amen after meals, according to mom's lawyer. The lawyer said mom would cling to him every day and try to get him to say amen, but he wouldn't. So eventually, Queen Antoinette ordered that mom be separated from the child and the child be starved to death. Hallelujah.
And they live like Christians on the seventh day. But come Monday morning till the coming Sunday, they will fight their neighbor all along the way.
I'm thinking, I'm getting my, getting over. Love God.
If you don't love your neighbor, if you've got love about it.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. Obama, as you know, has arrived in Europe for the global economic meeting. Usually, when American presidents do this, they've always said the same thing. You know, we're the model. Do what we do. We will show you the road to riches and wealth and stability and the democratic process and Jesus. All right, maybe they didn't say that last part. But Obama is walking into a real buzzsaw now. As a matter of fact, the hoped for globalization, the Times calls it economic integration, so-called, is in full retreat. A couple of the leaders of European countries, countries in the European Union, Sarkozy of France and Angela Merkel of Germany, have made it very clear they're not going to play Barack Obama's game, which is to, the stimulus money. And one of the reasons the Europeans, the wealthy European countries don't have to do that is because they have a tremendous social safety net. They already have health care that is paid for by the state, subsidized by the state, I should say, and, you know, single-payer health care. They have a whole different system from ours. It's more humane. It's more rational. So much of it is in the democratic socialist model. They do not have in these leading European economies the kind of predatory capitalism that exists here. And as a result, the Europeans are going to listen to what Barack Obama has to say and, you know, politely decline to play in his sandbox. They might suggest that there are certain things that he should consider, like perhaps changing the economic model in the United States, really changing it to something akin to what maybe the Scandinavian countries or France or Germany, uses rather successfully. But anyway, so Obama is there. And for all his early optimism that the rest of the world is going to do exactly what we're doing here, and that is throwing trainloads of money at these problems in an attempt to stimulate a recovery, he's going to be shocked because there is no clear move by the European countries in that direction. As a matter of fact, they've got their own problems. You have established economies in Europe that are dealing with the reality of other members of the European Union who are still more or less emerging democracies, emerging economies, some of the newer additions to the European Union. And the problem here, and this was foretold years ago. The problem is that, with the exception of the Brits, of course, who are not European, but everybody works on the euro, pretty much. Everyone works on the euro. The Germans certainly did not want to give up the Deutschmark. The French did not want to give up the franc. They did, for the sake of unity, because after all, Europe had proved itself in the 20th century to be an absolute tinderbox of racial hatred, religious hatred, jealousies amongst royal families, just itching for a chance to, you know, the French hate the Germans hate the Poles, Italians hate Yugoslavs, just on and on and on. So the idea to unify the economies, certainly not the cultures, that'll never happen, certainly not the language, that'll never happen, that was tried. But let's unify the economies, let's all use the same measurement of money, let's call it the euro, everything will be fine. And the warning all those years ago when the euro was put into play was no, because the economy of Germany is not the same as the economy of France. That's A. Or no, that's B. Here's A. There, the European Parliament is meaningless. It's kind of like 50 states in the Union here. If each state had its own prime minister, its own foreign minister, its own foreign policy, all of a sudden tried to unify all that by saying, well, let's stop using Confederate dollars and Yankee dollars and Americollars and all this other stuff. Let's have one kind of money. We don't have that problem here. We already have, yes, we have one measure of money. It's the dollar, but we don't have 20 or 30 or 50 independent nations that are trying to get along together because there's been so much bloodshed. So what is happening is the wealthier European countries are taking a look at this wreckage caused by pretty much the United States and the UK, and they're saying, you know, we don't want any part of this. So how do they isolate themselves? Well, the first thing to do is start erecting trade barriers. Now, we've seen this movie before. It was back in the 1930s, and it was called The Great Depression.
Right from the left, it's more Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. So Obama arrives in where is he? London. He arrives for this economic meeting. Oh boy! And word is already out that it is it's not going to be the United States showing up to dictate terms. The way it's pretty much always been since the end of World War II, since the Bretton Woods Agreement in where was that, New Hampshire. All of a sudden, it's a whole different game. And as the president of Brazil said the other day, the global economy has been wrecked by blue-eyed white people. Well, Barack Obama certainly is not a blue-eyed white man, but he represents the blue-eyed white people in Washington and London who have, for some reason, decided that the game was getting boring, and so it was time to just destroy the entire world economy for sport. Now, I frankly, believe that we've got to move to a different model. They destroyed the economy, but it's the inherent flaws in capitalism, predatory capitalism, that allowed them to destroy the economy. It's kind of like the Windows system. You never, ever, ever will Windows operating system be foolproof and impossible for people to get into, because it's just fatally flawed. It just is. Same is true with predatory capitalism. You can't have capitalism any longer, because it's no longer possible to contain it, especially not in this country. The laws that we have on the books, unless we want to spend the next 25 years redoing all the laws, going through the court challenges by the corporations who will try to take it all the way to the Supreme Court, and will. I remember it was U.S. Supreme Court that ruled corporations have the same rights under the Constitution as individuals. So as far as reforming capitalism in this country, it's not going to happen. It can't happen. It simply can't happen. Bless his heart, what Obama is doing is trying to save capitalism. It cannot be saved. It's so simple. And other people, other world leaders, other economists around the planet understand this, and they know it. And they want Barack Obama to wake up and smell the coffee, more or less, so to speak. And that's one of the reasons that leaders like Sarkozy and Merkel and Lula and the rest of these people are saying, no, it's not going to happen. Now, the Chinese, of course, and the Russians and other countries that have forms of capitalism. China's is more of the updated model of fascism, the kind that Mussolini always lusted after and just couldn't seem to put together. The Russians still have that oligarchic system that eventually will crash and burn. Eventually the people in that country will bring out the guillotines and start lopping off heads. And it'll be the second Russian Revolution. But that's not what is concerning everybody right now. What has got the entire planet concerned is the voracious American consumption. I mean, in this country, we had, 300 million people, and we all decided, God damn, look at this, as the speculators drove up the real estate prices to stratospheric heights, and everybody said, well, damn, I've got $150,000 equity. Damn, I've got $200,000 equity. Now, this was a deliberate move during the Bush years, because there had to be something to make the American public think that everything was okay, when in fact it wasn't. So the corporatists outside the government of George W. Bush and inside the government of George W. Bush came up with a pretty cool plan, and that was to start goosing up the value of people's homes in a way that would make homeowners think, well, son of a bitch, I'm rich. How did this happen? You know, back in the day, when you bought a house, back in the day being 40s, 50s, 60s, even into the 70s, by the time you paid off that 30-year mortgage, your house's value might have gone up maybe, I don't know what, maybe 2% a year. So at the end of 30-year period, your house is worth about 60% more than what you paid for it, and you had a nice little investment there, something to pass on to the kids. But that got deep-sixed about the time that the savings and loan scandal was ripped open and swallowed America, thanks to the previous George W. Bush, Herbert Bush, and his bastard boys. But I digress. So here we are in this country, and the rest of the world is going, what the hell? All of a sudden, a $150,000 house in this country was worth, quote, quote, $650,000. Well, Jesus God, honey, pack up the kids, let's head for Spain or someplace. And that's exactly what we did. We had a pretty weird ride for about 10 years on debt and credit. And, of course, at the same time, the corporatists were sending all the jobs out of the country, so that when the House of Cards did come tumbling down, as it has now, it guaranteed that there'd be no way, listen to me, no way to recover. We don't have a manufacturing base any longer, do we? You tell me, what's made in America? I mean, when you go out this week to buy the Easter candy for your kids, look on the label of where the candy is made, where some of the ingredients of the candy you're buying comes from. So that's where we are. So Obama is over there trying to sell the rest of the world, bless his heart, on more of the same. And the rest of the world is saying, no, no more of the same. You people went crazy over there in the United States. You went mad. And you want us to? Don't think so. We really like you, President Obama, and we think your wife is wonderful and you got two great little kids, but no. We'll stick with systems that work, whether they be the Scandinavian model, kind of a democratic socialist model like they have in Germany, whatever you, the hell you call it in France. That's what we're gonna stick with that. And as, Jeffrey Gartner, professor at Yale School of Management, said, the irony is that most of our partners, after berating us for being irresponsible and greedy, want to return to the era when American consumers supported the world, when we spent too much and saved too little, end quote. That's what they want. That's what the Chinese are waiting for. But it's not going to happen again. It's over. It's over. It's finished. So what is Obama going to do? Of course, none of this is going to be said explicitly. People are not going to be sitting around and talking about how the U.S. and the U.K. pretty much destroyed the entire world economic system. No. Because nobody wants to rattle the markets further by suggesting that it's been blown up completely by blue-eyed white people. Nobody wants to say that. Not because it's not true. I mean, Lula da Silva said it down in Brazil, an emerging world power, who will probably be going nuclear within the next 5 years. No one wants to say it in the European Union. The Chinese are terrified to say it because we are their market. The Germans, who are the leading exporters on Earth, not the Chinese, the Germans, they don't want to bring it up. The Russians just want to see us collapse. They are so sick of the United States they could just pee blood. So anything bad that happens to us, Medvedev and Putin are going to sit back and go, stupid Americans, look at them. You know, I mean, and that's fine. We kind of had that coming. So the host of this meeting, Gordon Brown, UK Prime Minister, has been jetting around the world lately to make it appear like there's some kind of accord going on. It was Gordon Brown who was in the presence of Lula da Silva when the Brazilian Prime Minister talked about blue-eyed white people screwing up the entire planet. So I don't know. It's this G20 is part of the problem. Its membership, according to the New York Times, includes a broad swath of the world economy. About 85% of global gross domestic product is going to be represented here. But few doubt that the meetings are going to eclipse the annual meeting of the G7. That's Britain, France, Germany, Italy, United States, Canada, and Japan. At the G20 meetings, with China and India in the room, and with countries like Indonesia, Saudi Arabia, Brazil, and Turkey represented, there's no shared assumption that economic interdependence is necessarily a good thing. You see how that works? Oh, my God. And inside the European Union, again, quoting the Times, the richest nations of Western Europe do not want to spend heavily to bail out their poorer Eastern neighbors. That's a task they want to leave to the IMF. International Monetary Fund and Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner, U.S. Secretary Geithner, has committed the United States to boosting its contribution to those countries by about $100 billion, or a fifth of the needed $500 billion. But getting that amount through Congress is going to be a bit of a challenge for President Obama, because, you know, we're still fighting two wars, among other things. Wouldn't it be easier, President Obama, if you just declared the two wars over and brought everybody home? Maybe there would be enough money to do all this other stuff. You think?
Pro-choice and gay wedding, widespread digging hippies like me. Skin color blinded, conspiracy minded, protesters of corporate greed. We who have nothing, and most likely will till we all end up locked up in jail by conservative Christian right wing.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. Now, regarding the way things are done differently in European countries, let's take a look at Paris, or France, I should say. That's a city in France, Mike. Workers at a Caterpillar plant in the French Alps got a little bit pissed off with their bosses over their severance packages. Because Caterpillar in France is cutting jobs. They're cutting 22,000 jobs worldwide and seeking to lay off about 700 workers, about a quarter of the workforce, at his factories in the towns of Grenoble and Escherol in the French Alps, combined with those already laid off and those with the short-term contracts with Caterpillar that will not be renewed. A total of about 1,000 workers at the French factories are losing their jobs. Now, of course, Caterpillar France said the job cuts were necessary because orders for heavy equipment have been cut in half as a result of, the global meltdown caused by, let's not go back and beat ourselves again on that issue. But what the workers did at the Caterpillar plant, they took their bosses hostage in a dispute. They held 5 of the Caterpillar France bosses hostage in a dispute over their severance packages. A representative from the union there told the Associated Press that, quote, there is no violence or sequestration, but simply pressure. So they restart negotiations. They weren't sequestered. Well, if you take someone hostage, what the hell do you call it? But this is the way the French workers said, okay, we're going to restart the negotiations here because we don't like what you're doing. The workers had detained the director of the plant and his associates. The union rep in France said, at a time when the company is making a profit and distributing dividends to shareholders, we want to find a favorable outcome for all the workers and know as quickly as possible where we are going. And then a member of the workers' council. A workers' council? Oh, God damn, that just sounds like it's right out of the commie Marxist playbook, huh? A workers' council? Anyway, a member of the workers' council said, quote, the employees just want a fair deal, end quote. Now, this is the move at Caterpillar was at least the third time in the last few weeks that French workers had detained their bosses to protest job losses. Done a lot differently in France. Now, France, of course, has a long history of labor militancy. They're not like American workers. American workers, when their hours are cut, when they're told there's no severance pay, when they're told there's no, you get 1 week vacation after you've been here for 3 years. Yeah, you can have a 401k, but we're not putting anything in it. Sick leave, get real. Family leave, are you out of your mind? You see, American workers, just for some reason, for some god-awful reason, I don't know what it is, the most productive workers in the world are not French, they're not Chinese, they're Americans. But when Americans are kicked in the ass by the bosses and kicked in the face and stomped on by people like the pig man, Rush Limbaugh, made fun of, told that they don't mean anything, when their jobs are sent overseas, when factories close, what does the American worker do? That's right, not a goddamn thing. Nothing. Except go join a militia or say, well, next time I'll vote Republican. Why? The Republicans put you there. Well, Rush says, that kind of garbage. But the French workers and even the Chinese workers, I mean, my God, they live in a totalitarian state. They arm themselves with scythes and pitchforks and clubs and pieces of metal piping and take on members of the Red Army when they've had enough, when too many of their factories have been closed, when the Chinese government comes around and says, we're taking this land to build a holding pen for hog feces. And the Chinese say, well, no, this is our village. We've been here for 5,000 years. Get out of here. No, we'll kill you. You see? So it's a lot different here. And that's something I can't figure out. For the life of me, I can't figure it out. It used to be militant union workers in this country. You screw with me, and I will pick up a lead pipe, and you can, you know, Ford Motor, you can send your armed goons, and yeah, some of us workers are going to die, but we will beat the Christ out of your goons, and we will get what we want, which is a fair shake. That's all we want, a living wage. And if you're not going to pay us, what are you going to do?
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do, you punks. We're going to move the factories to China.
Ha, 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 ha. Which is exactly what happened. So, the French workers, though, they have a different idea. They say you're going to lay us off, you're going to close the plant because your order book is half full. Well, you know, we don't care about that. You know, your order book is half full because you, the capitalist ruling class, have made the order book half full with your crazy crazy monetary policies and your crazy this and your crazy that. We don't care about that. We live in the villages. We have families to support. We have lives to live. So we are going to take you hostage. And we're going to hold you. And we may kill your ass, too. You know, we did that here in France in the 1790s. Oh, the streets ran red. We were so pissed off. Matter of fact, they called it the Terror. You want to do that again, boys? So usually with the French workers, something gets done. And it usually gets done relatively quickly. And France continues to be France. And, of course, the United States, well, I can't say, continues to be the United States. Because if you look out the window and see what's happening to the United States, all of a sudden you may or may not realize that the kind of predatory capitalism that has done this has got to be replaced. So it's a shame that Barack Obama is dedicating his energy and his, what did Bush call it, his political capital, to trying to resuscitate a corpse. Yes, welcome back. 7 past the hour. Time for our missive from... Well, before we do this, from our economics correspondent, Prairie 2, a couple items. I mentioned this at the top of the last hour, the beginning of the program. Starting tomorrow night, I think, we're going to do a new feature on the program called Mike Malloy, Radio Gumshoe. And it'll be in the style of film noir from the 50s. And our writer in Seattle provided us with the first script here, which we will be recording tomorrow evening. Well, tomorrow, and then playing it for you tomorrow evening. So be here tomorrow for that, Mike Malloy, Gumshoe. Now, a lot of people out there may not know what gumshoe is. You know, just do a Wikipedia. G-U-M-S-H-O-E, one word, gumshoe. All right? Now, I think I confused everybody about the YouTube thing. We still have 600 videos up on YouTube. What was it, Kathy? You're the engineer, the producer here.
Well, I'm not as smart about this stuff as I wish I were, but it's not that there aren't any Mike Malloy YouTube videos. It's that the people who sat down and devoted hours and hours of their precious time to create unique Mike Malloy YouTube sites,
right,
pages with just Malloy stuff on it, those were all deactivated.
Oh, suspended. I see.
And then we went, those people banded together. They had these things independently suspended over the course of the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They banded together and put all their efforts together on the Mike Malloy Show YouTube page, one big page mm-hmm. that they could all contribute to, and it was up for less than 2 days.
And we so the whoever did that was not really coming after us. There's no way to remove 600 Malloy YouTube videos on out there on YouTube.
Well, they're around. They're scattered. I mean,
right.
Somebody might post one here, one there. It's just that these people were targeted because,
yeah.
Clearly, because they had lots and lots and lots of Malloy YouTube videos up.
Okay. Again, we're still waiting for someone to email us, and someone who's a lot more savvy about this than we are, about how to deal with this. If you have any idea about how to get through to, isn't YouTube, who owns YouTube?
Google.
If there's any way to get through to the people who run YouTube to find out, you know, why has, you know, is there not security to prevent this from happening? In other words, there's nothing on, there were no videos on these pages that aren't still out there. They were just collected, right? Into pages. So it's somebody who is very pissed off about the incipient success of this program and saw that as an easy target. Oh my, I wonder who that could have been. And speaking about the incipient success of the program, don't forget to come to MikeMalloy.com and sign up for the podcast. I have to say they're very inexpensive. We're looking for your support in order to make sure that the program, you know, we're going to continue with the program no matter what. There's no way in hell that this program will ever go off the air until I'm dead. And even then, Kathy may take over. Who knows? But we do need your support. So if you go to MikeMalloy.com, the one thing that's available right now are the podcasts. Within the next few days, we're going to be putting up the first video, the Malloy's Uncensored Mailbag. And believe me, I've got a collection from the real hairballs out there who have written to the program telling me, you know, what a blah, 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 I am. Now, when we do the Uncensored Mailbag videos, you know, we quote what these sick puppies say verbatim. And sometimes we include their email addresses in case you want to, you know, spam them or flame them or whatever. And sometimes we don't. But they're very funny. It's unintended humor. It never fails to amaze me how people who send in the hate mails, hate emails that make it through the screening system, or the ones that are collected by he who shall not be named and forwarded on to me, how it doesn't matter where these emails come from. They all are pretty much worded basically the same. They are all misspelled, always misspelled. It's like that picture that was all over the internet a couple of years ago that had the word moron. What did I say? Liberals are morons. And the guy spelled M-O-R-A-N. You know, it was just like, oh my God, this is just, but that's the kind of stuff we get. So, that also will be available. And we've decided this time we're going to do the videos a little bit differently. When we first did those Malloy's Uncensored Mailbag videos, they usually would be shot here in the studio. And part of the reason was we wanted to keep it just very, you know, professional looking because we were working for a network. Now that we're not, we're going to be taking those videos all over the place. Maybe in the bathroom. Maybe first thing in the morning when we're waking up, you know, we'll take a video then. And so no telling where these things are going to be taken. But they will be reading, you know, that would be cool, Kathy. Just, you know, I'll read one sitting on the John and then, you know, just use it for bathroom tissue after I've read it. Could you put that up?
The flushing sound would
be
a bonus.
Well, yeah, no, that really would. Because some of them are that good. So anyway, all of that to let you know that we are really, really, really looking for those 20,000 people who blew a gasket when we were so unceremoniously fired from Air America 3 years ago. Oh, and by the way, if anyone at Air America, I'm still on their mailing list. I still get that Air America wire. I've asked those rat bastards to stop it. I realize they've gone through a couple of changes of ownership, but they still owe me $116,000, and which I'll never see. But all those 20,000 people, and I was impressed by that, who signed a petition to get me back on Air America. You know, one thing about petitions, where it concerns radio, maybe one time, I know at 92.1, the mic in Madison, I think a petition worked there where they were going to switch to a different kind of programming away from progressive radio, and people rose up. I don't know if they took hostages at the station, but they did have a lot of petitions flying, and it didn't happen. But usually petitions are a waste of time. But this was like 20,000 people, so we're looking for that 20,000. You can always hear this program free if you want to web stream it, if you want to listen on XM or Sirius. Of course, that's not free, but or your local radio station, wherever it's available. But if you want the podcast, you want Malloy's Uncensored Mailbag, come to the website, MikeMalloy.com. There are a couple of ways you can, I haven't subscribed yet, but there are a couple of ways that you can become a subscriber to the podcast. And we're looking forward to your signing up. Okay? From Prairie, have I got time for Prairie 2? No, we have to do a break here in about a minute. All right, we'll do Prairie 2. His subject line is feeling sticky. Oh, my God. Okay. Also, that's right. We were talking about the magic of the French workers at the Caterpillar plant. Now, a spokesman for Caterpillar in where are they located? Peoria, Illinois. A spokesman at the company's headquarters said he could not immediately comment on any of this. Don't you love that about executives at companies who are just so whipped? I mean, they're like dogs, aren't they? Part of their leadership is their French leadership is being held hostage by workers who are pissed off, and so the Associated Press or CNN or New York Times asked for a comment.
Well, I'm not authorized to say anything. I'm not allowed to talk. You know, I can't talk. I can't say anything. I'm sorry. I can't say.
They really do, don't they? Corporations, they just cut your heart and soul out if you let them. And it's amazing. It's one of the things I've always just turned my stomach about American executives. I guess it's from seeing that movie, Man in the Gray Flannel Suit, way back when did that come out, in the 50s? And I remember seeing that later, you know, when I was older, where I could understand it. And I thought, Jesus, God, how can people do that? How can they do that?
I want to make more money than I can spend. I want to build more bombs than I can send. Somewhere I can even spell the name of. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I want a big, big Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly my flag across your sky. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new.
And the best thing you ever done for me is to help me take my life less seriously. It's only life.
The Mike Malloy Show. Talk radio matters here.
It's about 22 past the hour. From our economics correspondent, Prairie 2. Subject line, feeling sticky. Prairie 2 writes, a new poll out today shows Americans are more confident that the country is going in the right direction. That number is now at 45%, up from 8% in October when Bush was president. And Obama continues to carry 64% of Americans having confidence in his economic plan. Meanwhile, housing prices continue down sharply, only outstripped by the plunge in commercial real estate value. Deflation is still alive and doing very well. The Obama administration is talking about some sort of bankruptcy for General Motors if an acceptance, if an acceptable restructuring plan can't be presented in 60 days. Sounds like a ridiculously short time frame, but there is really only one major issue to resolve, and that could be done in a few days. That is the bond holders. The right wing says this is grandma's pension, but really it's mostly hedge funds and oil shakes that are being told to take pennies on the dollar or get nothing at all. General Motors' new CEO is talking today about bankruptcy being more probable. It has now become a trillion-dollar game of chicken, with the sheriff trying to convince the townspeople to give concessions or he will pull the trigger on the gun, not just to his own head, but to all our collective heads. Obama's off to Europe to participate in the Kabuki Theater with world leaders. The French prime minister is threatening to walk out if he doesn't get new financial regulations, the same regulations that Treasury Secretary Geithner has already announced. The Russians have been pushing hard for the past week to prepackage some sort of diplomatic coup that they can announce after their private meeting with Obama. China will hold the most important meeting with our president, but the way the Chinese do these things, we probably won't hear about what happened for some time. The London meetings may be largely pointless, but they will define the turning point of the New World economy by what announcements they use the occasion of the big horse show to trot out. Some will be put out to stud, and some will get a new career in the glue industry. Feeling sticky? Well, I hope Obama knows what he's doing. I think he does. But I would hope that at some point he might come to the realization, not that I'm smarter than he is by any means, but he would come to the realization that either he has to preside over the burial of predatory capitalism and move on to a different hybrid economic system, or like Paul Krugman recommends, Barack Obama has got to reach way down into some, I don't know, some safe somewhere and come up with about five times the amount of money that he has tossed out there so far. I don't think the world economy can handle a $7, $8, $9, $10 trillion bailout on top of a $3 trillion U.S. budget deficit. Is that what it is now? $3 trillion budget deficit? I'm not even sure what the number is. But the result of all this at the London meeting is, as Prairie 2 says, it's going to redefine who rides what. And what happens to the horses that aren't being ridden? It's here's another thing. Our media is so determined to maintain its role of making us forget things that you and I are not even one tenth informed as to what is really happening. Joe Nocera, who writes the business column at the New York Times business section. Paul Krugman, a couple other writers have tried to make it clear that we are in a world of problems, a world of hurt. And I don't know how successful they're being. I mean, how many people subscribe to New York Times, for Christ's sake? How many people read the columns online? I mean, they're available online. You don't have to subscribe. But if we had a media whose prime directive was today what it was when the country was put together all those years ago, they would be telling us exactly what we're dealing with, what we're facing, and getting us prepared for the fact that we have got to change or die. I don't think there's any question. Adaptation is the key to survival. You either adapt or you die. I mean, take a look in the museums of natural history and look at those great big old skeletons of dinosaurs.
Everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all. My empire of dirt.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
Yeah, over and over, several times, I think. 25 before the hour, we are going to take your phone calls here momentarily, so stick around. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to mention, after reading, what did Prairie 2, Feeling Sticky? Is that what he said? Was that the title of it, Feeling Sticky? yeah, Feeling Sticky. If you have, what I'd like you folks to do, some of you, go to Prairie 2's website, prairie2.com, prairie2.com, and engage him. I get some emails from people who say, well, you know, I don't like your emails from Prairie 2. And I don't have time to write back and say, why not? Because, you know, they're not mine, they're his. And, but I think you ought to go to his website, check out what he's doing there, and where he posts these, by the way. I think these are posted. When he sends them to me, he also posts them at his website. And if you have a comment to make or want to email him, do it. You know, engage this guy before he starts asking for money. Mark in Fort Worth, Texas, writes... French workers are more productive than U.S. workers. Mark writes, as Paul Krugman points out in this column, this is from, July 29th, back in 2005. I guess it would still be true. French workers are actually more productive on a per-hour basis than American workers. True. Krugman writes, overall American workers are more productive, but that's only because we work vastly more hours. We don't get 6 weeks vacation per year in a 35-hour work week like the French. Thanks, Mark. Yeah, 6 weeks paid vacation and family leave and retirement and health benefits and I mean just just on and on and on. On and on and on. And what do we do in this country? We just, when we get screwed over by corporate America, we just roll over and say, hit me again. May I have some more, sir? I didn't like my job anyway. You know what? You're moving the factory to where? Cambodia? Oh, isn't that over there by Vietnam? Oh, yeah, it sure is. Well, okay. Goodbye. They've really done a number on us. They really have. And it's not funny. There's no way to make up little witticisms about the fact that the economy is really, really, really tanking. Maybe it's a good thing media in this country don't tell us the truth. But even if they did, and the truth is out there, oh my God, sounds like, oh, never mind. The truth is out there if you can, you know, you can scrabble around and find it. But even if we did know the absolute pure truth about this economic system and what's coming, what do you think we would do? Would we do anything? Would we be like the French workers? Would we be like Spanish workers? Would we be like German workers or Latvian workers? Or I mean, pick a country where people are saying the working people are and you know, blue collar and white collar are saying to their governments, you know, we expect you to fix this and start here on our rung of the ladder. Don't be throwing money at these goddamn banks. Don't be backing some behemoth ripoff artist like AIG. You know, start here with us, working people. That's where we want you to start. And of course, the workers in Europe who make these demands, do so knowing full well that they have for the most part, or they have had job security and health care available. And family leave, and as everybody knows now, 35-hour work week and 6 weeks paid vacation, and their economies are not tanking, even though this is what these right-wing sons of bitches in this country put out on the radio all day long. All day long. Well, French, we're not going to call them French fries, we're going to call them freedom fries. You see, that's a great diversionary tactic for six-year-olds, isn't it? Huh? Saying that, who wants the Scandinavian model? That's socialism. Yeah, but did you ever see those surveys of quality of life? You know, the quality of life surveys, and always up there at the top where it concerns low stress, peace of mind, ability to work your art if you have one, or develop one if you think you don't, because most people can do some form of artistic endeavor. But no, not here! That's socialism. That's Marxism. That's, oh my God damn, that's communism. And the very people who tell us that are the people who make $30, $40, $50 million a year, $10 million, $15 million. You know, the pigs on radio and television, the right wing pigs who just slam us with this all day, every day. Coast to coast, border to border, across the fruited plain, while they gobble up their OxyContins, and they send their housemaids out to score more street drugs, and they suck up the money and continue to tell the American working class, the American middle class, oh, well, don't do that, that's communism, oh, that's communism, that's Marxism, socialism, blah, 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 blah. Why? This is a purely rhetorical question. Why do we put up with this? Why do we do this? I cannot understand that. I can't. You know, and I'm only two generations in this country. You know, my grandfather came over here. So, you know, I know about the hard scrabble, you know, pull yourself up, work from your bootstraps. Blah, 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 blah. Sure. That's great. That's wonderful. Hip, hip, hooray. Why do we put up with this kind of a system? When it is eating the guts out of the society, it's just eating the guts out. It's like, I don't know. It's not cancer. It's what's worse than cancer. It's like some type of corrosion that's going on inside this country. It's just corroding. It's devouring, eliminating the core, the heart and soul of the country. In the meantime, the militia. Crazy people and the Christian right wing crazy people, man, they're having a heyday. They're just having a field day, aren't they? Hey, hey, you see, this is God punishing. Come on, arm yourself. Here come the Obamites. Oh God, they're going to have, one kind of money for Canada, United States, and, Mexico. And there's going to be a big road going right through the middle of the country. Oh my God, they're going to, on and on and on. It's great diversionary tactics. In the meantime, corporate America that sponsors that kind of garbage, that kind of disinformation, just sits back and laughs its collective ass off. Why? Why do we put up with this? I cannot understand that. I can't. And the older I get, the less I'm able to understand it. I mean, what the hell is going on? You know, we get young people who call the program. You might have heard the young guy that called the other night. Said he was 21, still had a lot of hope and, you know, determination and so on and so forth. And that's good. That's where hope always resides, is in the younger generations. But how long before that young guy has the hope kicked out of him, you know, because his future is being eaten alive by all this money being tossed at voracious, sick, non-productive. I mean, what the goddamn hell does AIG do? Why have they gotten tens of billions of dollars? Somebody tell me.
Well, Mike, they insure everything. If they collapse, everything collapse.
Well, everything already is collapsing. Now, I know what General Motors does. I know what Chrysler does. I know what Ford Motor Company, well, they didn't take any money. I know what manufacturing companies do. But what in the hell does a company like AIG do? What does UBS do? What did Lehman Brothers? Oh, Lehman Brothers. Oh, Christ, they're too big to fail. But somebody decided they weren't. And so they failed. Gone. Well, eaten by even a bigger corporation. I don't get this. I just don't get this. So our president, our young, handsome, articulate, intelligent president, jetted off today to the UK, where he's going to attend a meeting with the heads of 20 different economies. And they're all going to sit down, and they're going to try to figure out a way to keep this goddamn shell game going. What? Where is the sense in that? I mean, if other countries want to do it, fine, have at it. But why don't we here say, you know, we've had enough. We're going to have a strong unionized workforce. We're going to reclaim our manufacturing base. Only this time we're going to do it right. We're not going to crap up the air we breathe and the water we drink and the parks we like to take our kids to. And we're going to have single-payer health care. And we're going to work a 35-hour work week. And we're going to dial it back a little bit. And we're going to have a good time. We're going to live a goddamn life because we're only here for how long before we keel over dead? Huh? When is this nonsense gonna stop?
Captain said, excuse me, ma'am. The species has amused itself to death.
Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. Ray in Arizona writes, you need not wonder about Obama. Just read David Sirota today on Huffington Post. Obama is the new Bud Fox. Ray in Arizona. P.S. In France, they do not have in every tiny, small, middle, and large town a government-sanctioned military assault team disguised as the police SWAT unit to keep the peace. P.P.S. I'm buying a Mike Malloy subscription when I cash my unemployment check tomorrow. Thank you, Ray. All right, when we come back after the break at the top of the hour, we're going to open up the phones during the break and take your calls. The number is 877-99-MALLOY, 877-996-2556. 887-996-2556. So when we get out of here at the top of the hour, we will open up the lines for you. John McCain is back in the news. He spoke today about the war in Afghanistan. He did. McCain. McCain wants to increase the Afghan army beyond the planned levels. And while Obama has been insisting that securing Afghanistan against more terrorist groups is a top priority in this phony war on terrorism, McCain said today that the problems in Afghanistan are not as difficult as those in Iraq. Jesus Christ. And you know, this guy wanted to be president. He said during a speech at the Foreign Policy Initiative, whatever that is, he said, Afghanistan's not as tough as Iraq, and don't let anyone tell you that it is, because when we started the surge in Iraq, that country was virtually in a state of collapse. You know, McCain is such a dumb son of a bitch, isn't he? I mean, he doesn't have a clue as to what happened. Like, for example, Muqtada al-Sadr, who headed up a, 20,000-man Mahdi army, declared a truce. A truce was declared so that the fighting stopped. This poor son of a bitch, McCain, honestly believes that the surge of American troops into that sad country is what calmed things down to the degree that they have calmed down. Now, of course, if you've been blown up by a truck bomb yesterday or the day before or a week ago or 10 days ago, then things have not calmed down, have they? But McCain is such a jerk. He supports Obama's efforts in Afghanistan, but he would increase the Afghan army beyond the planned levels. He wants to increase the Afghan army. Now, the last time we did that, we wound up with somebody named Osama bin Laden. Remember that? Of course, we were fighting the great game then against the Ruskies. Obama announced a troop increase last Friday of 4,000 in Afghanistan, in addition to the 17,000 previously announced, and he said that those troops will help train the Afghan army and police. But McCain says, no. He said, I would have announced a dramatic increase in the Afghan army. I'm talking about 200, 250,000 person army. It's a big country. It's a big population. Oh, my God. It's a big country. It's a big population. And I wonder. Quote, Obama, let me be clear, Al-Qaeda and its allies, the terrorists who plan to support the 9/11 attacks, are in Pakistan and Afghanistan. Multiple intelligence estimates have warned that Al-Qaeda is actively planning attacks on the U.S. homeland from its safe haven in Pakistan. End quote. Not this again. Not this again. Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. We're back on the web. I hope we are back connected through Westwood One. Apparently, we had a major meltdown here. We are just being hammered, aren't we? We are just being attacked left and right. That's all right. We'll get through this. I swear to God we will. So, we're on the air, too? Okay, good. All right, now what I've got here, I don't know. You never know about this sort of thing. But it's this comes from davidswanson.org, and I certainly trust David. It's a Reuters dispatch. It's from Rome. It says John C. Yoo, former Deputy Assistant Attorney General of the United States, was arrested on Tuesday in Milan, Italy, and is being held for possible extradition to Spain, where he and five other retired officials who served under former President George W. Bush are expected to be indicted by a Spanish court for violations of the Geneva Convention, the Convention Against Torture, and the Rome Statute on the International Criminal Court. Yoo, 41, is a visiting professor of law at Chapman University School of Law in Orange County, California, on leave from University of California Berkeley School of Law. He served in the Office of Legal Counsel in the U.S. Department of Justice, blah, blah, blah. He authored memos permitting the use of torture, blah, blah, blah. Milan prosecutor Andrea Spolini released a statement indicating that you can be held for up to 90 days awaiting an indictment in Spain under the international standard of rompi testiculo. Now, wait a minute. Rompi testiculo? Rompi testiculo? What the hell does that mean? It sounds a little dodgy to me. Does anybody know what romp? Have we got any lawyers listening tonight? What the hell is rompi testiculo? It sounds a little that's Italian? Okay, let's see here. Let's take it to Babelfish and see what we can get. But they don't have Italian in here? Oh my God. There's no Italian. Oh, here we go. Italian to English. There we go. Or no, it would be English to Italian, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would be English to Italian. All right, let's see what it says here. Rompi testiculo. No, that's Italian to English. All right, here we go. You break off testicles. Okay. All right, it's a joke. International standard of rompi testiculo. That's a good one. Man, it looks like a real Reuters dispatch. It really does. Got my hopes up. I guess it's wait a minute. It's April Fool's coming, right? Rompi testiculo. I love it. All right. You want to try to call in? Let's see if that works. 877-996-2556. And we'll put you on the air so that you're right in the middle of a sentence when we go down this time. The U story was on CBS. No, it wasn't. That's not the U story on CBS News. That's something different. Spain is looking to prosecute Bush officials. Oh my God. That's right. It's April Fool's Day. It's going to get hairy. Oh, isn't this when the internet worm is supposed to take over? Isn't this? I wonder if that's what's going on. There's no way of knowing. All right. Where are we? All right, we're waiting for there we go, some people to get online here, and we will take your calls. 877-99-MALLOY, or if you do it the other way, 877-996-2556. All right, let's go right away to Addie, who's listening on WINZ, calling from Miami. Hey, Addie. Addie?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, Mike. You're not calling in too good. I can't hear you too good.
Oh, no. You can't hear us too good?
No, I can't.
Can you hear?
Uh-huh.
Well,
I got my radio cut down.
You do? You just can't hear us in the phone?
I can't hear the phone too well.
Oh. Well, go ahead and say what you wanted to say.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. Now, you know that quite a few people don't want you on the air.
Right.
Mm-hmm, I know that. And I want to appreciate you for being on the air, for staying on the air. You and Randy really worked real hard during the conventions, you know, the primary, the campaign.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, with the senators and everything. You and Randy worked real hard, but I can't get you every night because of the ball game.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, they get off time. If they would get off time enough, I could get you. But I get you about twice a week now.
Well, that's good. Well, I'm glad to hear that, Addie. And I wish we had a better connection, but apparently we don't tonight. Thanks, Addie. I appreciate you checking in. Let's try Dave in Redwood City, California. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike. Mike. You know, I got to call April Fool's balk on Rompy Testiculo, but
man,
that's one day too early. I want John Yoo in the damn jail, under the jail, so bad. It's a laugh, but then it's like, ugh, it's a disappointment.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't believe this. I should have known since it is April Fool's Day, but the Rompy Testiculo kind of gave it away.
That's when you stopped reading.
Yeah, it was like, well, wait, what is it? Wait a minute. Testiculo?
That... Yeah, I had 1% of my rational mind saying, no, somebody got him. You know, I'm start searching for it, but, you know, the pace quickens, and it's like,
right.
Could one of those high-level, you know, destroyers of all things American actually be brought to justice in my lifetime? That'd be a real thrill. I'd love it, you know?
Yeah, it would. It would.
It'd be time to move to Spain or something, I think, because that guy, you know, to be treated as if he's some kind of authority on something,
mm-hmm.
and live a life of prestige and privilege and take the habeas corpus and the, you know, Magna Carta, the whole thing, just out the window. You can just be locked up and buried under the jail and disappeared. And
I hear you. Now here's something. I think this is real. This is from a couple of days ago. Will Miniker, writing at Huffington Post, says former chief of staff and legal counsel to Cheney, David Addington, and law professor John Yoo had made plans to spend the summer backpacking across Europe, which have now been put in jeopardy by a criminal probe, which could lead to their possible arrest and extradition. Yoo said, we were totally psyched just to get out there, you know. I have a lot of free time now that things have soured at Berkeley, and I planned a whole list of places we're going to stay. I bought the Let's Go Western Europe and even a new backpack and sleeping bag. But now this whole crimes against humanity thing has just put a huge damper on everything.
Doesn't it, though?
You'd think I'd advocated child murder or something. I think this is another one. This was 2 days early on Huffington Post.
They got you early again. See, now, April Fool's is fine, but March Fool's, you know, I got to say, that's kind of like, I'm coming to you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not real.
Oh, my God.
But they're out there. I mean, I said there was a ruling where they say, okay, well, we're holding out the possibility.
Right.
I think it was some government prosecutor in Spain. So, you know, these guys, if...
Well, there is an investigation. They are trying to determine whether or not they can indict these sons of bitches and arrest them, just the same way they did with Augusto Pinochet.
Right.
So we'll see what happens.
Sometimes it's a long arc of the ball.
Yeah, it is. Dave, thanks, man.
Thank you, Mike. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
And them that was caught in a cup are all rich and free. But they chained my mind to an endless tomb when they took my only son from me. I know it's true, oh so true, 'cause I saw it on TV. I know it's true, oh so true.
Just had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour.
Fat Charlie the Archangel.
Okay, I guess the story at Huffington Post is part of the April Fool's program, too. See, we don't do that. Back in the day in talk radio, I'm talking 20 years ago, we used to plan these elaborate schemes. But that was back when, the corporations would say, all right, you can go so far. Don't go too far now. You don't want to confuse everybody. When I worked at Cox Communications, WSB here in Atlanta, that was always the big concern of management. Don't confuse everybody. They're used to hearing a certain thing, you know. And WLS was pretty much the same thing. So And besides, it just got to the point where it was kind of like, you know, childish. So we just stopped doing it. And as a result, I'm just a real sucker for this April Fool stuff. I honestly believed, hey, they got the son of a bitch. All right, I can't wait. Yeah, I get the rest of them. And it turns out that it's not true. Hellfire, boy. Joe's listening on XM, calling from San Diego. Hey, Joe.
Hello.
Hey, Joe.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. What's up, Joe?
Long time. I haven't spoken to you since last year.
Yeah, I've been meaning to tell you know, getting
a lot of changes, a lot of water under the bridge since then.
That's true. That's true.
Very dissatisfied with Obama. I had a feeling this was going to happen.
Yeah.
And he's not taking care of business with Katrina. Poor Katrina is still in a bad way there.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, listen, we got a really crappy connection on your phone. And in this instance, I think it's your phone. I think it's your cell phone. So I'm going to let you go, man. We'll try you again. All right. Where was I? Oh yeah, April Fool's jokes. I just shudder to open emails tomorrow and get all these hot stories, you know, and you look at them and they've got the right date lines and the right sourcing. It's Reuters. No, it's the French news agency. No, it's AP. No, it's CNN. Hey, wow, look at this. And then it turns out to be April Fools. I don't particularly care for April Fools jokes. You know what I'm saying? Russ is calling from Buffalo, New York, also listening on XM. Hey, Russ.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right.
I'm calling about the Spanish investigation
happened
about the previous administration, and there's got to be justice here because they can't just torture people and kidnap them and lock them away and take away their habeas corpus or whatever you call it. They could vanish and disappear and you'd never hear from them again.
Well, that's true.
I told this to Randy Rhodes a while back, that the Pledge of Allegiance, the last six words of the Pledge of Allegiance are a promise for everybody who takes the pledge, and that's with liberty and justice for all, and we got to have justice. So why isn't the United States doing this investigation instead of Spain?
Well, I think the quick answer is...
Oh, I could hardly hear you.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Let me put you, where are we here? Let me put you on hold. And, okay, there we go. Because I think you'll be able to hear better if you listen on the air. You're listening on XM, right? So we'll let you go and listen on XM. The reason, I think that, it's not happening in the United States, that we're not going after these bastards, is because they did exactly what they were supposed to do. Look, the country has been drifting towards this corporatism or fascism, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, when your boys are doing exactly what they're instructed to do, that's not the time you take them down or lock them up or fire them. You encourage them. You pat them on the back. You tell them what a good job they've done. And short of that, you just leave them alone, and you hope that the public will forget about it. That's one of the reasons media in this country just lets that story go completely. You never hear anybody talking about that. You never hear anybody talking about these bastards belong in prison because of what they've done to the Constitution. You never hear anybody talking about impeaching Bush back when he was still impeachable. And nobody in media talks about that. In mainstream media, they're not supposed to talk about it. That's not why they are where they are. They are where they are to help you and me forget. That's the whole function of mainstream media. We'll be back directly. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
see. You'll see him in your head on a TV screen. Hey, buddy, I'm warning you to turn it up. Oh, he's a ghost, he's a god, he's a man, he's a guru. You're one microscopic cog in his catastrophic plan, designed and directed by his red right hand.
Flying Monkey Right, it's Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. I wonder if this is that virus that everybody's been talking about. We are going to put all the phones on hold so that we don't take any more calls tonight. So we're going to busy out the phones and not take any calls tonight. So what we'll do, instead of taking phone calls, there are a couple other things that I wanted to get out anyway. First of all, it is turning out to be one of my favorite websites, MediaMatters.org. And that site, along with TVNewsLies.org, TV News Lies does some of the same thing, but MediaMatters.org really nails these sons of bitches in media who constantly lie to us. And it doesn't have to be, you know, just the usual gang of thugs and liars. It can be USA Today. It can be Washington Post. It can be Lou Dobbs. It can be CNN. A couple of the latest, and I, just to give you an example of what we are forced to absorb in place of real news. On the March 27th edition of his Fox News program, Sean Hannity, now I realize you don't listen to Fox, neither do I, but a lot of people do. Anyway, on the March 27th edition of his Fox News program, Sean Hannity stated that, quote, the director of national intelligence says Gitmo detainees will be released right here in the U.S., end quote. He later said, quote, so we're going to release these enemy combatants on American soil, okay, end quote. Hannity also referred to the detainees that we're going to release as Gitmo combatants. In fact, in the comments to which Hannity referred, National Intelligence Director Dennis Blair was not proposing that the United States release, quote, enemy combatants on American soil, end quote. Rather, during a March 26 press conference, Blair outlined a process by which the government would determine whether and how, to release detainees into the U.S. who are not too dangerous to let out and have not committed offenses that merit punishment. You get that part. Have not committed offenses that merit punishment. In fact, Blair was answering a specific question about detainees belonging to this ethnic group from Western China. Is it pronounced Uyghur? Uyghurs? U-I-G-H-U-R, I think it's Uyghurs. As Media Matters for America has noted, the Bush administration told the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia in September 2008, that is what, 5 months ago, 6 months ago, that these 17 detainees, quote, will be treated as if they are no longer enemy combatants, end quote. Matter of fact, the only reason we were holding these people was to satisfy our Chinese overlords. That's the only reason. Now, of course, Hannity wouldn't know that because Hannity is a dumbass. Anyway, as Media Matters noted, Hannity also falsely claimed during the same Fox News segment that, quote, we actually have from the Pentagon 61 people that we released from Gitmo. 61 have gone back to the battlefield, end quote. From Blair's March 26 press conference. Question. On the disposition of the prisoners at Gitmo, you've got some options, and none of them are really great. You give them to governments overseas who may jail them or release them, and we've seen some of what's happened there. There's some talk about releasing or putting some in U.S. jails. Blair. Right. Question. possibly releasing some inside the United States. The Justice Department talked a little bit about perhaps releasing the Uyghurs in the U.S., or at least some of them. What criteria are you using to make those determinations, and what, if anyone is released into the U.S., what kind of follow-up will you do with them for security, and what kind of assistance would you give them to sort of get them started in our country? Blair. Answer. I probably couldn't describe the process any better than you just did. We are building dossiers on each of the detainees in Guantanamo that puts together all of the information we have about them. We're developing a process to make an evaluation of what can be done with them, given the options that we have. And in the case of each of the options, we are in fact thinking through the additional measures that have to be taken, some of which you cited. If they are sent to another country, we have to be sure that that country will treat them in a humane fashion. So that's part of the consideration. If they are to be detained in the U.S. after some sort of process that determines that they are too dangerous to let out or have committed offenses that merit punishment, we have to worry about where they're put and what the effect is on the place where they're put. If we are to release them in the United States, you can't just sort of, as you said, put them on the street. But we need some sort of assistance to them to start a new life and not return to some of the conditions that may have inspired them in the first place. So all this is a work in progress. It's under intense timeline because a year is not a very long time to go through that complexity. So all that is in process. But from the March 27th edition of Hannity, quote, the director of national intelligence says Gitmo detainees will be released right here in the U.S. And guess what? Given federal assistance to start a new life. You got to be kidding me. What's next? Straight ahead. Kind of loses something in the translation when it goes from a rational debate between someone asking questions and the director of national intelligence answering, and then Sean Hannity regurgitating little globs of garbage for his listening audience or his viewing audience to gobble up. Isn't it incredible? How in the name of God do people like that, like Hannity, get to the point where they are on the air? Well, he has his radio show, right? 3 hours a day and then an hour of television? 4 hours a day putting out the most ridiculous, inane, convoluted, lying garbage possible. How does that happen? What is it in this country that says our media are determined to make us dumb, stupid, vulnerable, malleable, using fear? What is it? Is it so goddamn important to these people that we become fascist? Is that it? Do the Hannitys and the Limbaughs and the Glenn Becks and the rest of these people, Joe Scarborough a whole list of people. Do they really think that they're immune? That somehow, when the country does go fascist, that they, nothing will happen to them? Do they really think that if the time comes that a hefty plurality of people in this country really do believe that we're sinking into fascism, do they honestly believe that the American people will still act like a flock of sheep or a herd of cattle? Do they really not think that there will be a reaction? What is it about these people, the Hannitys and the right-wing radio talk jocks and the right-wing television talk jocks, what is it about them that makes them think that nothing will happen? That they can continue to put this garbage out, that they can continue to lie, spread misinformation and disinformation. Jesus Christ, they are like, you know, as Michelle Bachmann said, she was in the Congress working from behind enemy lines. Good God, it is, how do these people get into positions of power? Whether it's media or government, how do they do this? Or the corporate world, you ever feel like you're surrounded? Do you ever feel like George Custer and you're surrounded by people who want to eliminate you? Yeah, me too. And Lou Dobbs. This is the L.A. Times. See, it's not just Hannity and Limbaugh. The L.A. Times and Lou Dobbs repeated John McCain's false claim that the Bush administration's, the government's decision to ask for Rick Wagner's resignation is unprecedented. In fact, in September 2008, before Obama was president, similar actions occurred at AIG, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, but the Bush crime family was in charge then, right? I don't know. It is it's beyond scary to me. Sometimes I think, yeah, well, I guess the attacks on progressive or liberal talk are only going to intensify one way or the other until it just doesn't exist anymore as an alternative. And I wonder sometimes why and maybe I'm just getting paranoid, but why doesn't Randy Rhoads is off the air. Did you ever wonder why? People like Hartman, bless his heart, and Stephanie, bless her heart, and Ed Schultz continue to rock and roll along. But programs like this one and programs like Randy Rhoads' show, I don't know, man. I don't know. It makes you stop and think, doesn't it? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. As we mentioned earlier, we're not taking any more phone calls tonight because we have gremlins in the machine, and it's not even April 1st here on the East Coast. Oh, well. Now, back to MediaMatters.org. In a March 31st article that was like, what, today? The L.A. Times quoted John McCain saying of Rick Wagner's resignation as the CEO at General Motors, quote, this is McCain talking, quote, this is a remarkable move by the federal government, I think unprecedented in the history of this country. What does this signal send to other corporations and financial institutions about whether the federal government will fire them as well? End quote. Now, similarly, on last night's edition of CNN's Lou Dobbs Tonight, Lou Dobbs said, quote, several leading Republicans immediately criticized the president's plan and blasted his decision to fire General Motors CEO Rick Wagner. Senator John McCain said Wagner's dismissal is a remarkable and unprecedented act, end quote. Okay, now that's what Lou Dobbs and John McCain and the LA Times together put out there for public consumption. The truth? The government, of course, did not fire Wagner, as Lou Dobbs claimed. Rather, the government told General Motors that Wagner had to step down if they wanted further government money. That's all. You don't have to take the money, boys. It's your company. But if you do take the money, there's got to be some changes. And one of them is Rick Wagner. Goodbye, Rick. Now, that's a little bit different, isn't it? No, it's not. It's a whole lot different from Barack Obama firing Rick Wagner, right? Now, in addition, contrary to the characterization of the government's action as unprecedented, similar actions, like I mentioned a second ago, occurred at AIG and at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, where chief executives were removed in September 2008 as part of the agreement to accept government aid. Now, Media Matters for America, matters.org, that you should be going to every day, as they've noted, in announcing his resignation, Rick Wagoner, former head of CEO, said the following, quote, "On Friday, I was in Washington for a meeting with administration officials. In the course of that meeting, they requested that I step aside as CEO of General Motors, and so I have," end quote. In fact, the New York Times reported yesterday, quote, "The White House on Sunday pushed out the chairman of General Motors and instructed Chrysler to form a partnership with the Italian automaker Fiat within 30 days as conditions for receiving another much-needed round of government aid," end quote. And in addition, contrary to McCain's claim that the decision to ask for Wagner's resignation as a condition for further government aid was unprecedented, since last September, during the death throes of the Bush administration, several executives had been asked to resign as a condition for receiving government aid. First of all, in September 2008, the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac CEOs were told to step down. On September 17th, the Washington Post reported of the Bush administration's decision to bail out AIG, quote, "The terms of the rescue package allowed the government to replace CEO Robert Willemstad, and a source familiar with the matter said last night that Willemstad would be succeeded by Edward Liddy, former chief executive of Allstate." Right? Reputable news outlets, LA Times, CNN, New York Times, Lou Dobbs, on and on and on. Putting information out there that is misinformation, is disinformation, it is simply not true. They don't do the research. They don't check on what the truth is. And they don't have editors or producers on their programs or editors at the newspapers who will do some fact-checking. Why not? How hard is it to find out what Rick Wagoner really said or what the Obama administration really said? How hard is that? I'll answer the question myself. It's not difficult at all. Why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? I guess the quick answer is that they're doing it because they can, these media outlets who have decided that the American public is so easily manipulable, so easily made to forget, didn't have to ferret out the truth. I just wish that outlets like Lou Dobbs and the LA Times and the New York Times and USA Today and the rest of them would help get the truth out. You know what I'm saying? That's what I wish. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.